Let's read again our text. Acts chapter 10, from verse 9 up to 24. It says, "The next day, as they went on their journey and drew near the city, Peter went up on the housetop to pray about the sixth hour. Then he became very hungry and wanted to eat. But while they made ready, he fell into a trance and saw heaven opened and an object like a great sheet bound at the four corners descending to him and let down to the earth. In it were all kinds of four-footed animals of the earth, wild beasts, creeping things, and birds of the air. And a voice came to him, 'Rise, Peter, kill and eat.' But Peter said, 'Not so, Lord, for I have never eaten anything common or unclean.' And a voice spoke to him again the second time, 'What God has cleansed, you must not call common.' This was done three times, and the object was taken up into heaven again. Now, while Peter wondered within himself what this vision which he had seen meant, behold, the men who had been sent from Cornelius had made inquiry for Simon's house and stood before the gate. And they called and asked whether Simon, whose surname was Peter, was lodging there. While Peter thought about the vision, the Spirit said to him, 'Behold, three men are seeking you. Arise therefore, go down and go with them, doubting nothing, for I have sent them.' Then Peter went down to the man who had been sent to him from Cornelius and said, 'Yes, I am he whom you seek. For what reason have you come?' And they said, 'Cornelius, the centurion, a just man, one who fears God and has a good reputation among all the nation of the Jews, was divinely instructed by a holy angel to summon you to his house and to hear words from you. Then he invited them in and lodged them. On the next day, Peter went away with them, and some brethren from Joppa accompanied him. And the following day they entered Caesarea. Now Cornelius was waiting for them and had called together his relatives and close friends." This is God's word. Let's pray. Father, we want to say thank you again for being with us from the beginning of our worship service up to this time, when we are all ready to hear from you and receive our spiritual food from you. May you use us, Lord, through your Holy Spirit to teach your word and your word alone. Have mercy upon us, O Lord, ignorant people, and use us to glorify your Son, Jesus Christ, in our midst. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As we continue from where we stopped last Sunday, with this message that is commonly known as Pentecost to the Gentiles. Yeah, this is when the Gentiles were also brought in. Officially, the way our brothers and sisters have joined this family today officially. Yeah, so we have the messenger with Peter and the receiver or the audience with Cornelius and his friends and relatives. So last Sunday we saw how God himself was moving in both parties.
So
as we always tell people that the work of salvation is the Lord's from A to Z. Human beings don't have a role to play. If they do have, it is God Himself who is allowing them to play that role. But to say that a man can decide to follow God when God is not willing, that has never and will never happen. Go back to Eden. When you and me disobeyed God, our Creator, and ate the forbidden fruit, because He had told us that the day you eat from this, you'll surely die, we decided to go ahead and eat. He chased us from His beautiful garden. Who among our parents said sorry to Him? Is it Adam or Eve? Instead of saying sorry, each of them was just trying to plead for themselves. It's not me, Lord, it's these two women you brought to me. Oh, Eve, did you hear that? No, it's not me, it's the serpent. To show us that naturally you and me are not prone to saying sorry. It's not part of us to repent. If some of us here repented and came to Christ, it is the power of God Himself that pushed us into repentance. The Holy Spirit first visited Cornelius in a vision and told him what He told him, as we learned last Sunday. Sent for some man, a person called Simon Peter. He's in Joppa. After his people had left, the same spirit visited Peter in Joppa. And today we are looking at Peter's vision. Verse 9 says, the next day, so this was after the vision of Cornelius, then the next day, it was the vision of Peter. The next day, as they went on their journey and drew near the city, Peter went up on the housetop to pray about the sixth hour. The sixth hour, this simply means midday. Sawa mukaga. By the way, the Bible, as I always tell you, that the cultures of the Bible are closer to the culture of Africa than the Western culture. Yeah, so in Africa, when we say sawa mukaga, it is sawa mukaga, midday. Yeah, but our friends from the West will tell you 12. How can 12 again be sawa mukaga? Okay? Yeah, so that's the confusion from the West. But this, it was 6 hours, it was sawa mukaga, midday. You know what had taken Peter to Joppa? He had gone there because they had called him. You see how the power of God is just pushing him from one task to another. He had gone from Jerusalem to Lydda to visit the work that was growing there. He healed the other bedridden guy. While he was still enjoying his fellowship with the brethren there, Tabitha died in Joppa. And they sent for him quickly. The Lord used him to resurrect Tabitha. And again, as his habit, he, after doing something, he did not want to go back immediately. As he was still enjoying his fellowship with the brethren, then the Holy Spirit sent people for him. So now in Joppa, at midday, he went on the housetop to pray. Yeah, housetop, you will not understand because we don't have that type of building here in Uganda. But in Israel or in Palestine, in that area, they used to build and live something. Yes, there are a few houses that I've seen that have some place on top of the house. Oh yes, this very building. There, thank you. So when you go through those stairs, you'll see the house top. Yeah, so when you are there, you are having a very nice view of all this area. So in Palestine, they used to build their houses that way, and especially for prayer and just some time of reading of scriptures and just privacy. So Peter had gone there to pray, because normally the Jews used to pray twice, in the morning and in the evening. But the most tired Jews used to pray three times. They normally used to pray at 9 a.m. Then midday, and then at 3 p.m. So Peter was one of those pious, most pious Jews. When he checked, it was midday, he had to go up there to pray. You realize that even Cornelius, when he received the vision, he was also in prayer to show us the importance of prayer. Yeah, so he had gone there to pray. Cornelius was also praying when the Spirit of God talked to them, to show us the importance of prayer in a Christian's life. Pray, pray, pray. If you want to grow, pray every day and read your Bible. He went up, verse 10. Then he became very hungry and wanted to eat. But while they were preparing food, he fell into a trance. Yeah, so trance is, you know, you get out of your senses. Yes, they taught us at school that a human being has got five senses. Yeah, to go into trance, you go totally off your senses. It's not a dream. Yeah, so the Lord just made this hunger to him for a reason. Because I believe he was not fasting, but I believe midday was still early for someone to experience such a hunger. Yesterday, he went into a trance. And he saw heaven opened and an object like a great sheet bound at the four corners descending to him and let down to the earth. Yeah, in the vision now, he sees something like a big tent, if I can say. It's held on its four corners, and it's descending from heaven down to earth. In it were all kinds of four-footed animals of the earth, wild beasts, creeping things, and birds of the air. And a voice came to him, "Rise, Peter, kill and eat." So if you followed very well our first reading of scripture this morning, when our brother took us through Leviticus chapter 11, that's where you'll see how God told the people of Israel what they should eat and what they should not eat. Among the animals, he forbade them from eating any animal that is having a hoof that is not split. Yes, so an animal should be having a hoof that is split, that's one. But also two, it should be chewing the cud. I don't know how I can explain that. Brother will help you. Yes, to chew the cud is, you know, like goats, cows, they chew the cud, in other words, meaning that they, after eating during day, you find them in the night, they bring back what they ate and they continue chewing them. Then they swallow. Yeah. So if an animal, the hoof is divided and then it chews the cud, then those you should eat. The one that chews the cud but the hoof is not split, don't eat. The one that chews the cud but the one that has the split hoof but does not chew the cud, don't eat. Among fish, only those with scales you should eat. Yeah, so God really gave them, showed them this and this and this, eat this and this and that, don't eat, they are unclean to you. And many people have asked questions, but why did God bring all that? And some of the answers are just that God wanted his people to be separate from other people on the face of the earth. Yes, he wanted them to be unique. Yes, so all those types of animals and birds and reptiles were found on that big tent, that sheet. Both clean and unclean. Even when Peter looked at them, he recognized these are unclean. Remember, as we read in Leviticus 11, God was forbidding them even from touching their carcass, dead body. But now the sheet comes down. Peter is very hungry, only to hear a voice tell him, "Rise, Peter, kill and eat." And verse 14, we find Peter say, "Not so, Lord." For I have never eaten anything common or unclean. Peter was a typical Jew who was keeping his culture, his customs. After seeing some unclean animals, immediately he said, "No, I cannot." And now you find some contradiction here on Peter's response. No, these are two short phrases. Not so, and Lord. They don't go together. Why? Do you know what Lord means? Lord is someone who rules you, rules your life. In other words, this part was not so, are not spoken before Lord. If you call someone Lord, then everything they tell you should be yes, sir. That's why we all normally tell you that if Jesus Christ is only your Savior and He's not your Lord, then there's a problem. He might not even be your Savior. Because the things of command orders are under Lord. Do this, don't do that. So you go to the army and you'll see. How can a general ask you to do something and say, "No, I can't, you are a corporal"? That immediately they salute and they do it, even if they don't like it. I wish Peter simply said, "Not so," and ended there. Or, I wish he simply said, "Lord." But not so, Lord.
Mm-mm.
And this is here to teach us something. I like the way Charles Spurgeon put it when he was preaching on this. He says, "Once Peter, forever Peter." No, he said this way. Let me put it the way he said. Peter before conversion, Peter after conversion. What does he mean? Those of you who read your Bibles, go back and look at the character of this brother. Even before he was filled with the Holy Spirit at Pentecost, he had some funny character of trying to correct his Lord. This is not new. He did it 2 if not 3 times. The first time, his Lord was informing them that he came to die, he would be beaten, put on the cross. All other disciples kept quiet. It's only Peter who came and said, "No, Lord, you will not. That will not happen to you." The same, "Not so, Lord," came. And his Lord told him, "Behind me, Satan." Another time, his Lord again was telling them that time will come, he will be arrested, and all of them would leave him alone. Others were quiet. Only Mr. Peter said, "No, not me." Others can leave you alone, not me. And again his master said, Peter, why are you speaking like this? Before the cock crows 3 times, you have denied me 3 times. And the last time I've forgotten it, but Spurgeon put all the 3 times. Not so, Lord. It was his habit before he was fully converted. You see it again when he's fully converted. Meaning what? You and me, who are born again. Not all of us in this room are born again. But glad that even those who are not born again are here to be hearing God's word that saves. But those who are already born again, remember you are still human. That sinful nature is still within you. You need to be very careful with what used to disturb you before you joined Christ. You realize that even after joining Christ, sometimes it comes and goes back. It comes and goes back. If it was too much lust over men or women, too much lies, anger. That's why the Bible says that we need to wage war every day against the old man. Look at Mr. Peter. With boldness is telling his Lord, not so. Sagara, I don't like. Not that he did not know that the voice was of God. But he is trying to value his customs more than the voice of God. Not so, Lord. And he explains, I have never eaten anything common or unclean. And the voice spoke to him again the second time. What God has cleansed, you must not call common. Chintu cha bulijjo, muntu wa bulijjo. Come on. And friends, do you know that there are some people who call themselves Christians but take other people like common? What kind of a Christian can you be if you because God has blessed you with some money, some vehicle, with something, so you want to ignore and look those others who are not like you? You cannot give a lift to a person who is dirty or shabby. If someone is putting on a necktie, they stop you, I need a lift. Oh, come in. But these are like, the way you look, no, you are too common. And God is saying, don't call common the one that has been cleansed. This was done 3 times and the object was taken up into heaven again. Now while Peter wondered, so now he's out of his trance. He was wondering within himself what this vision which he had seen meant. Behold, the men who had been sent from Cornelius had made inquiry for Simon's house and stood before the gate. Amazing. God spoke to Peter three times, and three common men were coming on the way coming. So after asking, then we find in verse 18 that and they called and asked whether Simon, whose surname was Peter, was lodging there. While Peter thought about the vision, he was still inside on top of the house, disturbed. What can this mean? He knew very well that it was God who spoke to him. He knew that. But now God told him something that is, it went beyond his understanding. So while Peter thought about the vision, the Spirit said to him, behold, three men are seeking you. Arise therefore, go down and go with them, doubting nothing, for I have sent them. Don't doubt anything. So the messenger, I like him here. He obeyed. He immediately put down his customs and cultures to obey the voice of his God. Are you ready here to abandon the satanic part of your culture and obey the voice of God? How many people have refused to follow God because of some culture in their church? Yes, some custom. You see, in our church we do things like this. What you are telling me, I've never seen it in my church. Even if you show them in scripture, say, no, yes, I can see it in the Bible, but we don't do things like this in our church. Who is ready to abandon their customs because the word of God says so? Go down and go with them. Don't doubt. I have sent them. 21. Then Peter went down to the men who had been sent to him from Cornelius. No. And said, yes, I am he whom you speak. For what reason have you come? 22. And they said, Cornelius the centurion,
Cornelius Romani,
a just man, one who fears God and has a good reputation among all the nation of the Jews, was divinely instructed by a holy angel to summon you to his house, and to hear words from you. Then after hearing that, they became his visitors. Welcome them. They even spent a night with them. Then the next day they started the journey. What an obedience, so long as it is God who has spoken. Don't follow what your mother said or father. Don't follow what your pastor said or your so-called prophet, apostle. Many people in Uganda are abandoning what God says with his loud voice in scripture by following what these false prophets are telling them.
abantu bangi mu Uganda balese Bible kye bagamba ne bagoberera ebyo bannabbi abaali
babagamba. In our church we don't do things this way. Why do you people worship like this? Come friend, come and see. It's here in the Bible. Oh yes, I can see it, but it's not our custom. Are you ready to obey God? Yes, so they were on their journey back in Caesarea. Cornelius was busy waiting for them. Let me first go back to verse 22. The words of these two servants and that soldier. They said, Cornelius the centurion, a just man, one who fears God and has a good reputation among all the nations of the Jews. We talked about Cornelius last Sunday. And let me tell you how this passage disturbed me. Last Sunday, my position was like this. That Cornelius might have been regenerated because no one can do whatever he was doing without being regenerated. Because only God can allow you to please him. Then I ended by telling you that I don't believe he was saved, converted. I went back home doubting myself. Yeah, because you know I was just, if I say he was not converted, but he was behaving like a convert. And on the other hand, if I say he was converted, saved, then why did God have to send someone there to so that he could hear about Christ? Throughout the week, I was asking God, what am I going to tell your people? But I did what exactly they taught us at the seminary. When, if you're a preacher here, don't begin with commentators or other preachers. Go into the text yourself. Wrestle with the text. Apply what we call principles of Bible interpretation. Yes, there are many. Scripture will interpret another scripture. So you see, use those. Come up with your own understanding of the text. Then after that, consult other preachers that you believe are sound preachers. If you see many stand with you, go ahead and preach what you had found on the text. But if you find many of them speak the other way and they are together, then put a question mark there. That's exactly what I did. My own work with the text showed me that Cornelius was not converted, he was not saved. And then I went and asked many brothers, just a few of those I consulted. I consulted John MacArthur. He said he was not saved yet. Consulted John Piper. He says he was not saved yet. I consulted Charles Spurgeon. He said he was not converted yet. Then I wrote to those I could write to. I wrote to Pastor Conrad Mbewe, Pastor Samuel Loach, and Pastor Naftali. All of them said the same. I discovered that the unsound preachers, many of them say he was a pagan. But among the sound preachers, many say he was not pagan, but he was not yet saved. Only a few say he was fully saved. Immediately I said, yes, these other brothers concur with what the Lord had already put in my mind before in the first place. Because if you say that he was fully saved, according to Pastor Conrad, it's a big mistake theologically. Even Pastor Sam said the same. You are putting the gospel, because Judaism was not a religion that saved anyone. It was only Christianity that brought Jesus Christ, who is the only way to salvation. And all these are because I consulted many more. All of them said he was saved only after hearing about Christ. And the Holy Spirit came down to stamp his salvation by filling him and his friends and relatives like he did with the Peter. Even Peter himself, when he's narrating to his fellow apostles back in Jerusalem, he confirms that he received salvation after he had preached to them. Yeah, so you can continue making your own research yourself. But be careful, because if you say he was full, he was okay, then Romans 1:16-17 is nothing to you. Then 2, why didn't God just keep quiet? He's already okay. But Christ remains Christ. Yes, he was a good person. Yes, God received his prayers. But none of all those proves that he was already converted. He was, yes, God's elect. And God was preparing him for conversion after hearing about Christ. After knowing that this malefactor that they hung on the cross was the Savior. He was a Roman soldier. They knew that the Jesus that was put on the cross was the malefactor. Yes. Wrongdoer. Being a Roman soldier, he knew very well that Jesus was a wrongdoer. Only to hear that very malefactor is your Savior. Malefactor to you. He did nothing wrong. And he accepted me because the Spirit of Christ had prepared their hearts. And he filled them the way he filled the Jews at Pentecost. You see how this man had prepared his friends and relatives to come and hear? When you fall on honey, Don't eat it alone. Invite your friends. Invite your neighbors, your relatives, like some of us have done here in this church. Don't simply say, good enough, I go to a biblical church where they preach the word of God. Invite them also. Peter entered the house, as we're going to see next week. He found the house full. He was surprised. They were ready to hear. May the Lord help us to be ready to obey the voice of God whenever He speaks to us. May the Lord help you not to be deceived that because you do good things you are okay with Him already. To think that because you come to RBC every Sunday you are okay with Him already. Yeah, I give offertory. Cornelius was doing more than all of us here. But he was not saved yet. He needed to hear about Christ and be saved. And obviously, all over the world, you find people who just naturally do good. But you need Jesus. I speak in tongues. You might speak in tongues and you are not born again. Yeah, because many people believe that that is the only sign that you have the Holy Spirit in you. No. We need to see fruit in your life. Your life has to be transformed. You can speak in the tongues of demons. But you cannot fake fruit. No, you can't. Anyone here can fake tongues. But you cannot fake being a good person walking in the right path. Amen. Father, we thank you for this day and for this word. Help us, Lord, to understand it. Use it to transform our lives to the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.